Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our drives and action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
In this episode, my colleagues and I are going to discuss the enthusiast. As an enthusiast, you will tend to inject a lot of energy and enthusiasm into everything and truly believe in focusing on the positives in any situation. You probably believe that no matter what, things will work out for the best. You're probably well-liked precisely because of your positive nature and enthusiastic attitude towards everyone and everything. At times, some introverts may find you a bit overbearing because of this. Your ability to energize others and lift the energy in the room is a precious asset in relationships. You may often be full of humor and lightheartedness, and you may love the gladness, sadness, and madness of life. You may also have an intense emotional side where you can deeply feel your hurt, anxiety, joy, or happiness. Enthusiasts are positive, hopeful, and optimistic. They thrive in conditions where optimism is embraced and where they can bring hope and lift the spirits of people. Does that sound like you? Do you think you could be a dominant enthusiast? I certainly am. It sits quite high on my profile at number 13. So I definitely relate to this positive energy. Let's have a look at the needs of this drive. Definitely the freedom to be enthusiastic and full of life, to be alone at times to recharge these batteries, to be in a positive environment and around positive people. If you're an enthusiast, you're going to walk into the room and people are going to feel your positivity. They're going to feel your excitement. And it can be quite intense, and you are going to feel these things as well. So you may feel frustrated with pessimism or negativity, and you're also going to feel these intense emotions.
As a dominant enthusiast, I'm going to take you through some of the boosters. So enthusiast and initiator both have a lot of expressive energy. Enthusiasts inject their energy into people and environments to uplift the mood and generate enthusiasm, while initiators inject their energy into people to generate action and take off momentum for ideas and decisions. Enthusiast networker, both are outgoing and thrive on social interaction. Enthusiasts engage others through their positive energy, lightheartedness, and fun, while networkers engage others through their charm and ability to find a common point of interest.
And I'm going to explain the contrast to enthusiast, which is enthusiast and skeptic. Skeptics range between being realistic and pessimistic and see the negatives first, whereas enthusiasts are naturally optimistic and see the positives first. I like what Simon Sinek says. Optimism is the belief that the future is positive. We are going through hard times right now, but we will get through this together.
We've had a look at the definition of a dominant enthusiast, some of the things that contrast enthusiasts, and some of the drives that boost enthusiasts. So I'll share from my point of view as being a dominant initiator with a high enthusiast. What does that look like for me? And it means get going. It means come on, get going. If we're not really thinking about how we're going to do it, it's just, the initiator energy with that enthusiast is let go. And it's a bringing people together energy, a huge amount of energy, actually. But not only the energy, remember, the enthusiast is going to bring, this is going to work. We've got this in the bag. Let's do it. Let's get going. And also imparting that energy onto the people that you bring with you onto this project or whatever it is that you're going to do.
Trace, I just wanted to ask you, have you ever had any feedback from somebody with that enthusiast drive where they feel that maybe you are too loud or you're bringing too much energy into a situation that requires maybe a little bit more seriousness or a little bit more focus? I'm just interested. I respect the fact that at this stage of life, you'll have a lot of emotional intelligence around that. But has that comment ever been passed to you before in this requires a more somber environment? It's quite a serious thing. And obviously, from what we understand from the descriptor, and the contribution that enthusiast brings is lifting that mood. And because you can sense when maybe the mood needs to be lifted, have you had any feedback of that nature?
Absolutely, Andrew. As an enthusiast, you've really got to learn to read the room. And when is it appropriate to bring this energy? And I will give you an example, especially if you're working with someone who is maybe a bit more organized and a bit more scheduled, you can throw them off balance with this go-getter, let's go. And they might look at you as that you're actually not thinking about what you're doing and you're just like taking over and doing it. I think it's a case of observing the room, seeing what needs to be brought, and maybe the enthusiasts say, can we go with this? Or this is these are my ideas. Can we run with this? I think that's really important because not everybody has this drive. Some people need to really just really think about how this is going to work. Or maybe in their head, they've got a structure to where this is going. And I will definitely come and really topple that all over with my ideas and my energy of how to do that. So definitely, Andrew, I've had, for me, not so much comments, but I can read people's body language. And I'm like, okay, Tracy, just step back. You've crossed your line, step back onto your side, and then just see what needs to happen. It doesn't mean it doesn't deflate me or take away my energy. I just take that little step back and go, let's just see what actually is. It depends. Andy, can I just add that it really depends on if I've organized a lot of events. So if I'm the main event organizer, that doesn't happen so much because I've already seen who needs to be in what position and I'm giving that energy and I'm energizing my team. But if I'm not the one leading it, that's when I think you really have to step back and just go to the person that's leading that and say, where do you want to go? How do we want to move forward? Great question, Andrew.
I think the other aspect of that where I think it's really valuable as well, and I like how you stated, if it's something that you've organized, is that if we consider the concept that emotion is energy and motion, and keeping people invested, keeping people encouraged and focused on what's happening, it makes perfect sense that you can play into that and to be able to lift the mood and to keep people engaged is what I'm actually after. We were discussing a little earlier the importance of having a laugh a day. And I can also speak to environments in the past where you've been in those very serious, very intense type situations. And you're starting to feel, even though for a person like me, you're feeling we're achieving and we're moving things forward, but definitely to have somebody in there who makes the team laugh, who breaks the tension, who lifts the mood, who helps everyone not be so serious and not take themselves so seriously is such a valuable skill too.
Andrew, I totally agree. I think the enthusiast can play such a dynamic role in a team. As you said, especially when things are starting to go wrong and people are withdrawing or seeing the doom and gloom. That enthusiast can hold their team together. Honestly, that energy that they have to bring that, we're going to get through this. Come on, let's stick together. We've got each other's backs. I think that's huge in any team.
Tracy, I have a follow-up question about that because I'm also enthusiast dominant. Have you heard, how often has it been that people have actually called you loud?
Claire, it's a really good question. I sometimes say to people, oh, I'm too loud. I actually catch myself and I go, oh, I'm talking too loud. So I think we can definitely overstep that mark and be loud. And it's that energy, because that energy is being expressed.
We've only gotten to know each other like in the past couple of years working together. But I can't necessarily say that I've come across you as being loud. That's my personal opinion, my personal view. But I can totally relate to being a loud person, being as an enthusiast. The loud, giggly, not necessarily not taking things seriously, knowing your place and knowing the time, because there can totally be a wrong audience or a wrong time for something.
It's going to really, because I don't find you loud either. But I think it's really going to come down to who you are having a relationship with at that time. If you're with someone that is very introverted or a very strong contemplator, and you coming in with that, our energy can just be too much and we don't match their energy. So I think that's where the growth it comes from on our side.
Yeah.
And I think to maybe paint a little bit more to the picture that you're telling there, Trace, is if you sniper contemplate to some of those drives that don't enjoy interruptions and you're in the zone and you're focused, sometimes that energy can break that. Maybe for people like me, that you need to go and create space apart so you can have the time to focus and to think and all the rest without distractions. And I think that's a key thing for people and teams to understand, that if you need focus time or you need time alone to think, just be aware of how you do that and where you choose to do that, because that could be a distraction. Just going on to another aspect of this, and Trace, I want to direct this specifically at you being the enthusiast with a strong caretaker drive. And this focus towards emotions and the importance of emotions in that space, playing to the contrast of the skeptic. And the skeptic might see things from a very logical space where emotions don't necessarily make sense. And just bringing up a dynamic where these two drives can cause situations where people miss each other, because the filters that they're looking through, in my case, would be a very clinical, logical, realistic approach to things. And again, playing strong to what skeptic does naturally, to see where the negatives are first, versus the enthusiasts, who's all about seeing where the positives are. And just in how we choose to communicate the perspectives that we both see, it's quite an important, first of all, to understand how those two ways of seeing life can cause people to miss each other, and then how we choose to communicate them. Because sometimes in the language, from my perspective, I will be looking at a situation, and we all have emotions, we all experience emotions, but maybe for people more like me, the ability to communicate the emotion or how it's perceived is a little bit more challenging for than maybe for you, just exploring that, how you make sense of that.
From what I understand, you're saying we're talking about a strong emotional to a strong clinical point of view. And how did the very high enthusiast with that high energy on one scale and the skeptic very doubtful on the other end, how do they see things on the same page and not miss each other? And again, I'm going to say it's when we talk about these drives, we want to talk about how are they mastered and not mismanaged, and what does that look like? So from the enthusiast, it's to read the room, like I said earlier, read the person that you're with, watch the body language. And then from the skeptic side, it's ask more questions, or if you need to get those doubts being made more clear to you, ask the questions. I think what we do as humans is we shut off and we go, this is just too much. This person's too much. This person's crazy. What are they going on about? And we stop being curious. We stop investigating. And so this is where the communication breaks down. Whereas it's, gee, enthusiast, you've got some great ideas, but these are my concerns. How would you address those? Or how do you think we can move forward? I'm happy to move forward with you, but how are we going to address these things that are my concerns, which probably the enthusiast hasn't even recognized or seen yet because of that energy to go to get going if they really have strong initiators as well. But even that initial, that energy that everything's okay, is sometimes they do need to be a bit more realistic. It's really the focus is on what do we need right now? What is in this moment need? Do we need this enthusiasm? Or are you just bringing that enthusiastic energy in the wrong context? Andrew, you now can talk, because you are enthusiast is a drainer for you. You are dominant skeptic. So do I overwhelm you sometimes?
No. So I think let me put forward an example of where I'm specifically going with this as well, is the importance of, for me, who doesn't necessarily go to emotions and feelings naturally, obviously I go there, but to the point of, I might observe you. We made the point that enthusiast experiences life very strongly in the emotional sense. And I might observe your behavior, for example, and without thinking, just call it out as saying something that could come across as insensitive. You very emotional today. What's going on? And miss the point that how you're feeling is important. And for me to just dismiss you as being emotional without understanding what might be behind that, I don't know if that gives more clarity to the question I was asking, because it's been quite something for me to think through the importance of people being able to express themselves emotionally and the validity of that.
Andrew, and I'm going to answer that question with one word again, and that's curiosity, is because when you're curious about people's behavior, you cannot judge them. So even if you don't ask the questions, the mere fact that you go, well, Tracy's arrived today and she's over the top, I wonder what's going on. And just having that, and then maybe later getting to have a conversation or actually finding out what has made me over the top enthusiastic today. And I can see where you're coming from, because from your mindset is looking at life as way more realistic, way more tempered. The enthusiast is not going to be tempered. We, you know, we have these very extreme emotions. So you're going to see me at my low lows or ha, ha, ha's. And for you to get your head around that, probably also what's going on here. You've also got moderators. Why is it so extreme? Could be.
Claire, do you have anything to contribute there from that perspective, just in terms of, and remember, it is a perspective, how we perceive another person and how they showing up, and maybe just also to put into that space.
I think from my perspective as a dominant enthusiast, I want to come from the angle of enthusiasts generally feel the need to lift the mood. When you think of the worst toxic potential or environment or whatever it is, for an enthusiast, they can't sit in something like that. All they want to do is they just want to lift the mood, and whether they make people happy or just like literally chop through the toxicity with the light giggle or whatever it is that they also do. But for me itself, I am a little bit more constant and I don't necessarily feel the need to do that unless it is so intense that it almost comes like an automatic response. It's almost a response, not something that I think about doing. It's not something that I feel that I need to do. It almost just happens, especially with the intensity. What I do want to discuss, though, is the need to recharge batteries. And as an enthusiast, you don't necessarily understand or calculate how much of yourself you actually pour into others or pour into situations with all the optimism that's injected into, whether it be the situation, the person, people, whatever. And it literally can drain the batteries, drain the energy. For me, one of my recharging of batteries is literally to take time out on my own, relax, chick flicks, snacks, whatever it is. And for every enthusiast, it might be different. And even though I'm an extrovert by nature and I go out a lot, there are times where I need to withdraw because it was just too intense. Having said that, communication is always key. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it does help.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com. and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.